This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now, I don't want to accuse anybody of anything. Hickey got a haircut today, so he's got a fresh cut. So people were wondering in the YouTube chat, hot take Hickey, they take wagers now on how high your hair is going to be. So I think you're a little misleading today because you walked in here and in this studio, like just our New York City studio, the only shows that broadcast out of here are myself, Maggie and Perloff, and Amy Lawrence. You know, we have Jim Rome out on the West Coast, Bill Ryder out on the West Coast, JR is down in Georgia, and then we also have Bart Winkler out in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee.
That's right.
So Hickey walks in, and he goes, "What the F is this on this chair?" It was like glitter and a ton of hair. So, and it was long hair, right?
Yes. So that was gross.
So that takes Perloff out of the equation. Yes. And Perloff also sits here. And I think Amy sits here.
She does.
Where I sit. So Maggie Gray, who is our great coworker, who is wonderful. Like, what are we doing in this chair? And did they dress up for Halloween today? Because it looks like a Halloween costume, and the leftover of the Halloween costume was all over that chair. So Hickey is now sitting in a higher chair, so it makes your hair, which is always magnificent, look even higher today because you're up a few inches than, like, us just lousy people that sit all the way down here.
I'm boosting,
yeah,
as they would say in Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm. This is your performance enhancers. You know, Barry Bonds, you know, would use a syringe, you just jack up the chair a little.
That's it. Just get a chair that's a little higher. That's all. Nothing wrong with
that. So I'm very concerned about you in this segment today.
You're concerned?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I don't want you looking at Stu and tapping out like your quarterback,
oh,
Anthony Richardson.
God.
So I did a little favor. I'm being kind. I got you a cup of water just in case if you're out of breath
and you need
a little sip of high quality H2O. I wanted to make sure that you have some water in there.
Yeah, I'm going to keep this by you,
okay,
because of my flailing arms.
Yes.
I'm going to knock that over.
And we don't want you to knock over the water and then Chris Oliveira comes in there and fires us all.
I don't
want that to happen.
I like my job.
But if you need some water, just give me the look. Hey, yo, Gelb, I'm getting out of breath. I need some water right here.
I never saw that. I hope to never see that again. You won't see that in radio. I can promise you that for at least the next 20 minutes.
Well, here's what I'm really just laughing about. You issue this, like, statement of support, basically, of Anthony Richardson with the stupid stats, and this is why stats are for losers, comparing Josh Allen, his, like, first 10 games against Anthony Richardson's first 10 games, 12 games, whatever it was. And you tweet out something that made it seem like you're in the pro-Anthony Richardson camp. Like, guys,
the eyeballs emoji, like, oh, look at this.
Mm-hmm. Like, hey, folks, I'm just saying, anyone doubting my guy Anthony Richardson, which was ironic because you trashed Josh Allen for a while, and now you're all in on Josh Allen. And then I kid you not, I wasn't counting or anything, but 13 minutes later, your quarterback gets benched. Now, last week, I asked you, on a scale of 1 to 10, where's your concern? You're like, I'm 100% confident in Anthony Richardson. You know, he's the guy, but you put it at like a 2. Like a very low
confidence.
No, I was
not, like, my thing is this. I don't know what we have.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not panicking yet because I don't think we have a definitive answer one way or another. I'm not saying he's good. I can't sit here and say
he
that his
said he was your
over.
Franchise quarterback when they
you
drafted
have to find
him.
Out. Well, I'm excited, and I thought he could fit right in with Shane Steichen. And I don't think at this point he's played 10 games. That to me is not enough time to decipher if he's the guy or not.
But can we just we're men. Can we just have an honest conversation
we are
here
men.
For
let's
a
have,
second?
Let's be honest.
You know, Craig Carden would say men don't lie to one another, right?
We're not lying here.
So in the radio terms, I know you very well. I used to work with you 5 days a week.
That's right.
And we talked an extensive amount of college football, mm-hmm. and we have discussed a lot about prospects. I remember a day where Ryan Hickey was like, I don't want someone drafted Anthony Richardson early. But then we're at the draft, what was it, Kansas City?
Kansas City.
Where?
Surely Kansas City.
Let me tell you, Kansas City. I love Kansas City. I didn't love staying an extra day there when my flight got canceled and I missed game six of Rangers Devils and I had to sell my ticket and I didn't get back the full price that I paid for. But Jack Sack's incredible, by the way. You know, I went there 2 times and when I got stranded there and I had the mac and cheese in the airport with bacon, which was unbelievable too. But when we were in Kansas City, you, right after basically trashing Richardson, saying he's no good, you kind of came to acceptance that that was going to be your pick. And then you started talking all positively about Anthony Richardson. You're allowed to be a fan. You're allowed to back your guy. Like, I didn't love Drake May at first. I'll admit this. I wanted Jaden Daniels. I didn't think Drake May was going to be a bum, but I thought Jaden Daniels was a better quarterback. The Patriots draft Drake May. Okay, I could talk myself into it. You talked yourself into Anthony Richardson. It wasn't love at first sight.
No, it definitely was. I mean, I told you for a while I wanted Bryce Young really bad. And
jeez, you're 0 for 2.
That is not looking great right now. So,
and he called C.J. Stroud a bum, folks.
Not a bum, but I was not in on C.J. Stroud, I will say. So go figure, not great for the rep. But I finally did come around to it because of this perspective here. And Josh Allen, I think, is a good comp. For a while, my only thought was, if you can't play in college, you can't play in the pros. Like, development's not happening. Okay. If you can't dominate, you're screwed. And I think Josh Allen is an example of, well, if you can have an up-and-down career, but you go to the right team of development, if you have it in there, they can get it out of you. And so I'm still slow in it, I will admit, but I'm trying to change my perspective on terms of watching college football and trying to translate how these guys will look in the NFL. And Richardson was a guy that it's tough on the transition because he does not look good at Florida. So it's like, if this guy can't look good at Florida, how is he supposed to look good in the pros?
And we said it, right? After that Utah game that they won.
Yes.
And I said it. I go, this is going to sound funky. This is loser behavior. But the worst thing for Billy Napier and Anthony Richardson in a game where both did well is that they actually won it, because then the expectations were going to go through the roof, and I didn't think they were ready to handle the expectations.
And I forgot who he had on. We had someone on right after that game, and they said he's going to be a top 10 pick. And I never forgot. I rolled my eyes, said there's no way, and he's going to stink the next week.
I think it was Chris Doran.
Okay. It may have been. I forget who it is. Mm-hmm. But they were like raving about him, and this is like the real deal. And they were like, this can't be it. Like, he's not, like, he's good, but he's not that consistent. And the next weekend's Kentucky stunk. So I'm like, this is it. But what I just eventually got to with Anthony Richardson is, okay, you know what? If you're going to take a swing at a quarterback in the top five, don't go conservative. And if he has a talent where he puts it together, could be one of the best quarterbacks in the league, even if it's like a 10% chance, I think you take a swing.
Now,
and that's what I accepted.
Our most heated debate of all time. Do you recall what it was? I wasn't mad at you, but this was the most I have ever yelled at you.
It was Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Justin Fields for the 49ers at 3.
Who was Trevor Lawrence was number one pick?
Trevor Lawrence was number two. Number one, sorry, Zach Wilson.
Yeah. So Trevor Lawrence was deemed as the generational talent in that draft. And for 3 years, we were told Trevor Lawrence is going to be the greatest thing ever.
That's right.
And Hickey said the quarterback with the highest ceiling in this draft is Trey Lance.
That's right.
And I said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, because the ceiling is Trevor Lawrence. Like, he's the guy. Don't tell me if Trey Lance could do this and could do that and could do this and could do that, when he never displayed that in college, is going to have a higher ceiling. And that's the problem with the draft process. I'm not saying this is your fault, but you have Patrick Mahomes, and people go, if this guy could be 50% of Patrick Mahomes, then we got to go draft him. Or, hey, if this guy, you know, Josh Allen was inaccurate, but he put it together. So this guy's never showed us being accurate at all in college. But if he could put it together, we could have the next Josh Allen. Like, these teams have mentally bleeped themselves so much into thinking that they could draft somewhat of the next Mahomes, or they could have a project like a Josh Allen. And you got to eventually put something on tape, enough tangible moments on tape that suggest that there's enough you have enough bullets, like kind of in the chamber, where you could actually see with the right coaching that player progressing. I never saw that from Trey Lance. And Anthony Richardson, outside of the Utah game, there was one other game that season. I forget what it was that he played well, but outside of that, he stunk.
But I mean, that's it right there. That's what you're saying. Show it. He proved it to you in that game. It's a top 10 opponent coming into your building in the game. Everybody watched. I mean, were Josh Allen's 5 moments? Were Patrick Mahomes' Patrick, let's not pretend here and say, like, Mahomes watching stats, Texas though. Tech and break, like, salivating
no,
at the mouth.
I wasn't watching Wyoming with Josh Allen. I watched Anthony Richardson, and I never saw why people thought this guy was going to be some successful quarterback in the NFL.
I think it's very tough to get it right, and truly, like, I don't know. I don't know what translates. I know, like, C.J. Stroud, you look at him, Ohio State, he played his worst games against the best opponents with all this talent around him. And it's like, well, this guy's going to Houston. The talent's not very good. Mm-hmm. This guy shrinks in the biggest moments. Like, how is he going to live up to this? And he clearly was head and shoulders the best quarterback in that class and one of the best quarterbacks in the league already.
Yeah.
There's no answer. I think that's maybe part of it. There is no one answer to getting a quarterback right, mm-hmm. and that's why it is a crapshoot.
Now, I don't want to get away from the lead here. We don't bury the lead on this show. You hate what the Colts are doing right now.
It's ridiculous. It is. You know what it is? It's Jets-like. It is very Jets-like. They drafted a quarterback that was a project that had very little experience. They understood that. They knew that. And they said, we're going to mold this gigantic mound of clay into the next great sculpture. It's going to take a lot of time, but we're going to do it. And 10 starts in, you're pulling the plug and saying, oh, sorry, we can't do it. That's ridiculous. He hasn't played. And sitting down, the only thing that I held out hope yesterday for, until I wanted to see them say today, that I could have maybe agreed with the decision was, we're benching for this game against the Vikings to publicly embarrass him. To show him that what he did, tapping out, was not right.
Yeah, but you don't do that to a franchise quarterback.
To send a message to the locker room, to send a message to him to take this seriously. Because you know what, that move, pff, you could argue that move right there showed he does not take what he's doing seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to send a message, the best way to do it is just publicly shame him.
Can I give you three options? Fine. And I forget what I said yesterday, but I'm going to change on this throughout the rest of the week. There's just certain topics where you think you have an answer for something. As the weeks go on, the days go on, it just changes. So there's like three options why they benched him. Number one, it's because of the comment. Like, he admitted that he tapped out of a game and he quit. Right? That's number one. Number two, they look at their next 4 games. They're 4-4. You know, they can make the playoffs. It's not crazy to say. You know, the AFC is not that
loaded.
No,
I'm rolling my eyes more just because, like, who cares at this point?
Okay, saying this could be a football thing. They play Minnesota, Buffalo, the Jets, and the Lions. They go 2-2, and Flacco's better right now than Richardson.
Yep.
Even if it doesn't work out for you, like, long term, obviously you want to see what you have with Anthony Richardson. If they go 2-2 with Joe Flacco, you know, which is possible, they can't do that with Anthony Richardson, in my opinion. You know, they're sitting there at 6-6 when the schedule eases up. Or number three, Shane Steichen has already given up on Anthony Richardson. And I know what you're going to say. Where's the sample size? They haven't had a big enough sample size. The guy's been hurt. He hasn't played enough. He hasn't started enough games. Well, Kyle Shanahan, who you love Kyle Shanahan. He quickly, like in a snap of a finger, and they move mountains to go get Trey Lance. He quickly gave up on him, and even his dad's telling a story, I forget who he told it to a few weeks ago, where, like, before the start of the season, that year, he's like, no, the guy you really got to look out for is that Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, don't you mean Trey Lance? That's the guy? No, Brock Purdy. And now, I know they don't have a Brock Purdy on the roster who's young, but this is a spot where I think Shane Steichen's like, I know what good quarterback play is in this league, and I've already seen enough where this dude just don't got it.
His comments today, I think, suggest that that's all it suggests. He's given up on him. He could say, oh, we still believe in him.
Are you out on Steichen now?
No. I think Shane Steichen's a very good coach.
Wait. But you think he's making the wrong decision?
I do.
And by the way, if you need that water, you look a little parched here.
I am okay. Like, if you're telling me right now to choose one going forward, Richardson or Steichen, I'm taking Steichen every time. Okay. No doubt about it. I think he's that good of a coach. But I think these comments about we're trying to win now, Joe's our quarterback for the rest of the season, essentially. It's his job to lose. They've given up on him.
Now, can we have one more honest conversation about the Colts?
Sure.
And for some reason, like every other team in the league or sports, you know, the results be this underwhelming. Hickey's like, fire the guy, fire the coach, fire the GM. When do we start having a conversation about Chris Ballard?
Soon.
So,
yeah,
so he's on the hot seat for you.
He's been on the hot seat for a while in general.
I feel like he never, though, is the person that gets the blame for a lot of the mess that has happened.
Well, part of it is Jim Irsay has come in, not this year, but in previous years, and has made things a lot worse than they should have been, a la Jeff Saturday being the head coach.
Hey, they won a game. It's more than the Jets have been able to win.
That's true. You're right about that. He did get one. Oh, my. I think it was against the Raiders, too, ironically enough.
It was. Sorry, Stu.
he's very inactive in free agency. He does not make aggressive moves when it comes to upgrading the roster. You have a secondary that stinks and he did nothing to improve it. Yeah, he's on the hot seat.
He's a reactionary GM. He's not a proactive GM.
Not like yes and no, because he doesn't even make any reactionary moves. The secondary stinks. They have all young guys, inexperienced. No one is good whatsoever. What move does he make? None. So it wasn't even proactive. Let's just go out ahead of it and get it. The secondary stunk last year. He did nothing to improve it this year. He's not proactive or reactionary. He's neither.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the coach. Everything else around right now seemingly has to go.
All right. That was enough Indianapolis Colts talk. Penn State, Ohio State.
Here we go.
What's here we go?
No, I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
I did my top five teams in college football right
okay.
now.
Okay.
Yes. Guess who my top five teams were?
Oregon 1.
Correct.
Georgia 2.
Correct.
I don't think you put Penn State. I think you put Penn State 4.
Wrong. I put Penn State 3.
Okay. Ohio. No. Texas 4, Ohio State 5.
Wrong and wrong.
Hmm.
I put Miami 4, and I put A&M 5.
Mm.
Texas has to earn back my trust after their performances the last 2 weeks. They got stomped by Georgia, and then very underwhelming up against Vanderbilt. And Ohio State... I think Ohio State will be back in the top five at the end of the year, but it's based off right now. They had that terrible lack of awareness up against Oregon at the end of the game, and then up against Nebraska, they didn't look good.
They looked terrible.
Considering what this great talent is. So with that being said, is Aller playing this week?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I hope so.
Has there been any indication from... Well, James Franklin.
You think James Franco would tell the truth?
Can I ask you a serious question? I know you were embarrassed. You even said to me you were embarrassed for James Franklin, how he handled the situation last week.
Oh, yes, yes.
Initially.
Yes.
When he apologizes to the media after a win, by the way, and goes, hey, early in the week I didn't handle that situation right. Are we getting that apology if they would have lost that game to Wisconsin? Just wondering. I don't think there's a chance in hell.
Probably, the reason why I say probably not is because that is no longer a story because Penn State losing to Wisconsin is the main story.
And let me be clear, I don't need an apology from James Franklin. I don't usually like to question apologies. I think James Franklin is a douche, so he showed his true colors. I don't even care. But that did cross my mind knowing how fraudulent he is. I think he was trying to look like a good guy when he looked so bad. And he's like, oh, we won. Let me then go out of my way to apologize when no one was thinking about that moment after the game on Saturday.
I'm just glad that is a story and not, again, talking about a loss to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's
all right. So who's going to win? Because even though Ohio State's out of my top five, I think this game's more important for Ohio State than it is Penn State. And I know you're going to say, well, if Penn State can't win a big game now, they're never going to be able to win a big game. I know you. But you don't have a loss on the season. Ohio State loses this game. I know they could still somehow, you know, depending on how it breaks out, win the Big Ten championship. But you have two losses. You're on the verge of not making the college football playoff.
You are. And from a record perspective, yes. Like, Ohio State needs this game. But, like, I think Penn State needs to show. James Franklin needs to break through. And you need a signature win, I think, going into the playoff. That's this game. All year long, I've tried to be measured. I got burned last year by going all in with Penn State, and I got embarrassed both thinking they were going to beat Ohio State.
We are!
I didn't think they're going to be Michigan, so I got that right at least. But yeah. I thought for sure they're going to the horseshoe last year and beating Ohio State. Got embarrassed. With that said, I'm getting back on the horse. They're winning this game because Ohio State's offensive line is the worst unit in this game, and I don't know how, like, they can't fix it in a week. They are too injured. Their left tackle go out in the Oregon game. Their backup left tackle got carted off last week. They are a complete mess right now. And you saw that's why they barely and almost lost to Nebraska because they ran for 2.1 yards per carry. With the two best running backs in college football. 2.1 yards per carry. At least the best two running back duos, I should say, in the country with those two guys in Judkins and Henderson. I don't think they're running the ball this week. And I don't think if you put the ball in Will Howard's hands 40 times to throw it, you're winning. I think Penn State, it's a lower scoring game like 27-23. I think they win.
I think Ohio State's winning the game.
That's fine.
It's
a close game. I think it's a very close game.
I think it's going to be a close game, but I think Ohio State's going to win by four.
Okay.
24-20 or 27-20, I'm going to take Ohio State based off one thing and one thing only. You're picking Penn State.
That's fine. I mean, both coaches need to win in the worst way.
Let me tell you.
Ryan Day, 2-6 against top five teams.
This is going to be like, what disease do you want from me watching this game? Because I can't stand Ryan Day. I actually think now I dislike Ryan Day more than James Franklin.
But interesting.
This is the fake tough guy bowl. Oh, Ryan Day. He's insufferable. He tries to act like he's this great football coach. You inherited a great program from Urban Meyer, and you haven't been able to beat Michigan in 3 years, and Michigan has started to pants you, and you're lucky that Harbaugh left, or else you would have been fired at the end of this year. All right? So Ryan Day, he's insufferable. He actually, and it pains me to say this because he's a two-time man of Temple University when he's on their coaching staff. He may be more of a weasel.
Wow.
Than James Franklin. He's more of an accomplished weasel, but he's still a weasel than James Franklin.
I guess the surprise is, you know, say that much.
Testing 1-2-3, testing 1-2-3. I will be rooting for Penn State this weekend.
Wow.
Over Ohio State. I think Ohio State will win, but I will be rooting.
That actually makes me nervous. I will say, you've been the mush recently.
Well, hold on.
So I hope your mushing skills are not venturing over to me here.
I'm picking Ohio State, though. So it doesn't matter if I'm rooting for Penn State, but I will say this. Remember that time in the NCAA tournament when I said I'm going to lead Penn State to victory in college basketball and you got very annoyed at me?
What happened?
And they won the tournament.
They lost! They lost to Texas!
No, they won the tournament game.
The first tournament game. That doesn't count.
The first tournament
A&M
game.
Doesn't
and then
count.
I jumped off the bandwagon
that
after the first.
That doesn't count.
It does!
They lost
it was an 8-9 game, right? Or a 7-10.
That loss to Texas. That's all I remember.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else?
No. No, that is it. Let's go. Energy on noon.
Can you stop slamming the desk?
Can we get a night game, please? Can we have college football game times go back to being controlled by the schools?
You
get some good environments here.
You just blew out my headphones for crying out loud. I can't hear anything.
Sorry.
You want to do this fake outrage stuff with JR on your Hick at Night show. Go slam the table there, all right? You don't slam the desk here. Because I actually got a complaint about you slamming the desk.
What?
Sully texted me. And Sully says the thing that annoys me the most is when Hickey's on, he slams the desk.
Hmm.
And he goes, it's insufferable.
Insufferable, wow.
Yeah, he said we should shave your head if you slam the desk again.
I don't think I do it that much, really.
You do. You talk a lot with your hands. You do this thing where you like adjust your seat.
I can't do that, no.
Before you go on the air, you like screaming into the microphone before you get on the air.
It's good music. Fired up.
You sure you don't need any water?
I am okay. Thank you. No tapping out today.
Hickey didn't tap out in this segment. He's tougher than Anthony Richardson. Who would have thought? Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, my 5 college football coach of the year candidates right now.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There has been an apology that has been issued. Stu, you have any idea what this apology is about? It's in the sports world, something that we've talked about in the last few days. Someone said it's not too late now to say sorry. Who do you think it was?
I'm guessing it's not the Yankee fan from last night.
I did see during the break that Austin Capobianco is in the Barstool studios right now. So I guess he is doing an interview with Barstool. But it was not, from my knowledge, Austin Capobianco. No. Any idea? Any other guess? Someone issued an apology.
No. Beats me.
Trayvon Diggs has issued an apology. Not public, but Mike Leslie, the reporter, made it public. Trayvon Diggs and I have cleared the air. He apologized for the hallway incident, and I apologize for misreading the play. He explained that what I interpreted him as him jogging was in fact him slow playing a potential cutback from George Kittle. We buried the hatchet with a couple canisters. I'm sorry, folks. We buried the hatchet with a couple canisters of these nuts, is what Leslie wrote, that he presented to me after his interview with press was complete. Now, I can't see the video that he posted. It wouldn't load. And it says the video has been deleted. So I'm reading this. It's a serious apology. And he's like, oh, we buried the hatchet with a couple canisters of these nuts. Yeah, I love that. That's funny. Everyone can laugh once in a while. It's funny. Is there sound to this? Okay. I guess our guys were able to pull the audio from it. So go ahead. Listen up.
What flavor you want? I got ranch. I got banana pudding.
I'll go ranch. I'm not a banana guy.
All right, here you go.
Which one's you?
I go with these. Yeah? Banana,
you see a fan sent some of these to the station, too, man.
Cheers.
It's all good. My bad, man. If I misread the play, I appreciate you apologizing. I'm sorry, too.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, man. Good.
I'm not usually someone. It's funny now because this is the second time I've done this today. The second time in the last 30 minutes. If you want to apologize, that's fine, right? I take you for your apology, and I usually move on. I'm a very forgiving person. Zach Gelb, always forgiving. But, like, the James Franklin apology after the game Saturday, everyone's like, oh, he's an honest guy, wonderful guy, James Franklin. Like, I just wanted to ask if James Franklin would have lost, would he still be issuing the apology? Probably not. In that case, I don't know, Stu. Doesn't that seem extremely... And I mean extremely scripted. And the media guy's in on it. He's like probably some, you know, kind of guy. And Trayvon Diggs probably didn't want to have to apologize for it. But he's like, ugh, you know, Mike McCarthy was disappointed with me, even though we all know he's going to be fired at the end of the year or just not retained because he's on the last year of his contract. That boom, that's the way that I still need to listen to my coach. And that's how I'm going to do it. And maybe there was a sponsorship tied into it with the whole nuts that they were picking from. And they got, I don't know. That sounded to me like a Fugazi kind of, like, let's rub elbow and be like TV kind of guys kind of apology.
I'm sure Diggs was told by someone to do it. Like, I'm sure whether it's an agent or someone that represents him or coach or something, I'm sure it was something that was like, oh, you should probably apologize for this.
So there you go. Trayvon Diggs apologizes with these nuts. That he did give to Mike Leslie. All right. My five college football coach of the year candidates right now. I feel bad leaving one person off this list. Pat Narduzzi. I felt bad leaving Pat Narduzzi off the list. Undefeated at Pitt right now in Pat Narduzzi. So Pat Narduzzi not on the top five list. Spencer Danielson is on my list in at number five. Has one loss. That loss is a 3-point loss to Oregon. And he has a Heisman Trophy potential winner at Boise State. Made the quarterback controversy, the big transfer coming over from USC, didn't start him. And Madsen's been the starter. And this guy right now has won every game but the Oregon game, where they only lost by 3 points. Spencer Danielson in at number five on my Coach of the Year candidates. In at number four, Coach Prime, Deion Sanders. Bowl eligibility. At Colorado, has two top five, maybe top 10 draft picks. You know, definitely top 10, could be two top five draft picks in Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders. And Colorado is alive in the Big 12. Three, undefeated in the Big 12 at BYU, Kalani Sitake. In at number two, no one thought he'd be in this conversation after losing to Notre Dame to open up the season. Hasn't lost a game since, though. Mike Elko at A&M, and in at number one, Kurt Cignetti, undefeated right now at Indiana, and just won last week, even when he didn't have his quarterback, who his quarterback was out against Washington. We'll see if he ends up playing this upcoming week. So right now, those are my top five college football national Coach of the Year candidates. I felt bad about leaving Narduzzi out, but Danielson in at five, Coach Prime in at four, Kalani Sitake in at number three, Mike Elko in at two, and then Coach Cignetti of Indiana with the Hoosiers in at number one. We will take a break. We'll come on back. We'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio with a news brief. Also, still to come in 28 minutes from now. I'm precise on this show. 28 minutes from now, Mike Mayock is going to join us, and we will preview the Thursday night football game tomorrow and also get into Anthony Richardson, getting benched. And also, I have a name that I want to throw out there to the former Raiders GM on who the Raiders could be targeting in the draft. Yes, though, it's not even November yet. It's close. Not even November yet. And we're already talking about the Raiders draft. And we'll get Mike Mayock's 2 cents on that. Update time first. Here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Alrighty, news brief time. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. A lot of Indianapolis Colts sounds here. Let's start it off with Shane Steichen announcing the benching of Anthony Richardson.
All right, I'll start off just by, you know, confirming Joe will be our quarterback going forward. Tough decision, but one I felt was in the best interest of our football team. I feel that Joe gives us the best chance to win right now. With that being said, not giving up on Anthony by any means. Really not. He's a young player with a ton of talent, you know, and he'll use this time to continue to develop and grow as a professional.
You are giving up on him. Nick, you just got to own that. Maybe one day he could be the guy moving forward. But if you actually believe with the small sample size that he played that you thought you had a franchise quarterback, even though you're trying to win games now, you're not sitting down Anthony Richardson. So you can't have it both ways. I know they're going to be politicians basically here when you speak to the media coaches. That's what they do. But you can't have it both ways in this situation. So Shane Steichen, could Anthony Richardson get his job back one day?
I can't predict that, but I'm not losing faith in that. I promise you that.
You got a plan?
I can't predict the future, but I mean, that would be great. We'll see. I think he just needs to keep developing and growing as a professional. And obviously, just every little thing, you know, all the little things, details, all those little things, we go through that. I mean, he's a young player. I think he's the second youngest, you know, player in the league at the position, and just keep developing.
Stu, let's just say I moved you from the 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time slot to 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay.
And let's say I'm holding a press conference and someone goes, you know, you're saying you brought someone else in to win now. You know, we'll use Hickey. We brought Hickey in to win now. And I put Stu from 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. I still believe in Stu. And then someone said, well, could Stu get his job back? And I go, I can't predict the future. Would you feel like you're getting your job back?
I would feel like I will have to get used to 6 to 10.
Exactly. And I think Anthony Richardson has to get used to the bench in Indianapolis and never be thought of as the franchise quarterback again in Indianapolis. Shane Steichen on saying Anthony Richardson needs reps to grow in the pass.
Yeah, that's a great question. I know I said that, and, you know, things change there. So I think right now, sitting back and seeing a veteran that's done it at a high level for a long time, you can develop that way as well. And continue to go through that process and learn.
It's because you don't believe in him anymore. That's a good aha, I gotcha moment. Very good job by the reporters in Indianapolis. So, Shane Steichen, how did your quarterback, Anthony Richardson, or now your backup quarterback, Anthony Richardson, react to getting benched?
Tough. I mean, anytime you get that news, it's tough. You know what I mean? To lose, you know, not be the starter anymore, it's tough. But you know what? I think he's going to handle it the right way going forward. Be a professional about it. Grind, get ready. Prepare like you're the starter because, shoot, he's still one play away.
Not very convincing. Let's go one more from Shane Steichen. He was asked about Anthony Richardson tapping out and going to the sideline and basically saying, hey, I'm out of breath right now. I got to quit on the team.
What, if any, did the tap out play this decision?
It didn't. I mean, he knows that he can't do that in that situation. You know, that's part of the growth and the development process that we go through. And again, I just, you know, I think Joe gives us the best chance right now going forward.
So there is a number one reason why he was benched. I don't think the number one reason is him tapping out. Like, for example, if they had Patrick Mahomes on their team and Patrick Mahomes did that earlier on in his career, is he getting benched today? No. It's because you don't believe in it. And even though they've not seen a lot of reps on the field, there was enough there for Shane Steichen to say, we don't got that dude. And then this was the final straw that broke the camel's back, in my opinion. All right, let's hear from Anthony Richardson. Tough spot, but let's hear how he sounds. This was Anthony Richardson on how Shane Steichen told him he was no longer going to be QB1.
Shane made the decision to switch quarterbacks. How did he explain it to you? Like, why was the decision made? How did he explain that to you?
He just told me that they were going to go with Joe, you know, and that was that. And, you know, I just had to, you know, just take the information and just, you know, just grow.
Did he explain why?
No, not necessarily.
Hey, Stu, I'm moving you from 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. End of conversation. That's where I'm moving you to. You would logically ask, hey, Zach, why are you moving me from 3 to 6 to 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern?
Yep.
All right, have a good one.
That's it.
Have a good day. It's because you had a bad day. It's like, what are we doing here? They're a circus, the Colts. You know, I'm thinking of the circus teams in the league. Panthers, circus. The Commanders, no longer a circus because Daniel Snyder is out. Jets, circus. Raiders, circus. Stu was like, when are you going to mention my team?
I knew it was coming.
The Colts, the Panthers, the Jets, the Raiders. Are those the four biggest circuses? Circus eyes? How would you make that plural there? Are those the four teams that are the biggest?
Cowboys.
Ooh. Duh. How am I a national radio host and didn't even put the Cowboys on that list?
Browns, maybe before, especially before this past week.
Man, you know what? As big of a joke as the Cowboys are, and this is going to hurt Jerry Jones, they may not be on the top five circuit list. You know, they may not be. You know, the Jets are more of a circus this year than the Cowboys. The Colts are more of a circus, it feels like. You know, more people care about the Cowboys. The Raiders, they just stink. So it's close, you know, when you go through those teams. All right, Anthony Richardson, one more. I'm being benched after the tap out play.
It hurts. As a competitor, you know, definitely don't want to be told that, you know, you're not the guy anymore, you know, for the upcoming week. But, you know, it's all good. I'm using this moment as an opportunity to grow and just learn from my mistakes.
Would you do anything differently with the tap out play or say anything differently about it?
You know, regarding that play, you know I can't do that as a leader, you know, especially as a quarterback of this team, and especially just as a football player in general. You know, I can't necessarily just bring myself out of the game like that, especially in key moments like that. But, you know, you live and you learn. You just got to, you know, grow from it.
I feel bad for him. I do. Like, Stu, I have sympathy for Anthony Richardson. It sounds like when, a young kid gets yelled at. And the dad says, hey, I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed. And then you get the waterworks. Wah! That's what Anthony Richardson sounds like. He just got benched. And I know he wasn't crying, but he sounded like he was really rattled by this. So this is no fun. I did talk to Joe Flacco last night. I exchanged a few messages with him, congratulated him. And, you know, we have a little bit of a back and forth from the whole conversation last year when he came on the show and went viral, and he was like, what did I come back from coming off the couch? I don't deserve comeback player of the year. So I exchanged a few messages with Joe Flacco last night. Let's hear from Joe Flacco on Anthony Richardson getting benched.
I know that when I was that young, there's no chance that I would have been able to have the perspective and just the right head on my shoulders to handle it and take it the right way. Mm-hmm. But now I do have that perspective. So if you can kind of give any of that to him in terms of just, this doesn't have to be a negative thing. There's a lot of positives on his end that can come from this. Like I said, he's very young with a bright future. There's plenty of guys that come into this league and don't play right away. I mean, look, there's a bunch of guys around the league that haven't played right as they come in the league, who have gotten second or third chances as they've kind of matured and grown a little bit. And I think that's probably not to like talk for the Colts and Shane, but you would think that's part of the thought process, of at least a little bit, is to try to help him out.
Stu, you want Anthony Richardson on the Raiders next year? Fifth round pick? Fourth round pick?
If they can't get one of the top quarterbacks, then I would be open to it.
Okay.
But I'd prefer a top 10 pick, you know, used on a quarterback.
Shedeur Sanders?
Yes.
Oh. Cam Ward?
Yes.
Carson Beck?
I've soured a little on Carson Beck, but I would still, if they're in the spot to take, the 13 taking a quarterback, I would probably take him.
Jalen Milroe?
No.
Nussmeier at LSU?
Definitely not. At least after this weekend, no, yeah.
That was a no for me, dog, is what Stu just did. Quinn Ewers?
No.
Yeah, I think it's just a college quarterback.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, cool. Let's go to Brian Flores. He actually is the lone person who is defending the Anthony Richardson tap out play.
I know there's been a lot of talk about the play where he came out, but did you watch the play? You know, I mean, guy throws a 300-pounder off on me, runs around. I thought it was an incredible play. I mean, our guy got tired watching him. But I think he's, you know, a very, very talented young player. He's a dangerous player.
Yeah, I watched the play. I went back. I said, you know, let me watch it again. Maybe Brian Flores is right on something. So I'm like, let me watch it one more time. Still weak. Still weak when he does it. Jerry Jones is on Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. And he had a little response for Trayvon Diggs telling a reporter, these nuts!
Are you familiar at all with these nuts?
Well, you know, there's a... in that context, no. I'd have to hear it said in context.
Okay. I'll send you the audio. I'm not going to say it to you. And I'm not going to rephrase it to you, you know.
I want to know what it looks like. I'm sitting here with a half smirk.
All right. Jerry Jones basically like, yeah, I know what it means. It's basically what I told you two clowns last week when I came on your show and basically threatened to get you fired. You have a problem with me? Yeah, how about these nuts? All right, one more from Jerry Jones and not giving up on his team or coaches.
I have a lot of faith in these players, and I have a lot of faith in this coaching staff. The coaching staff's got their eye on the things that we need to improve on. We need to improve on communication across the board, and we can. That comes better as the season goes along. We'll get better with the communication.
Here'd be my follow-up. If you believe so much of the coaching staff, why is Mike McCarthy right now a lame duck coach in the final year of his deal? Boom. Roasted. These nuts. How do you like that, Jerry Jones? Aaron Rodgers, how tough it is to play on a Thursday night game.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough, but I think Thursday night is as tough as it is on the body. It's good on the mind because you can just move on. So Brick did a good job of kind of cleaning everything up and then moving on. You know, we hate these games because they're a short week, but we love them because of the weekend. And they feel a lot better when you win.
All righty. Not anything embarrassing, I guess, that he said. Aaron Rodgers, how about Gottschall's comments on the Patriots basically saying, you don't look like what you used to look like.
Did you see the comments from Gottschall after the game?
No.
He basically said that you didn't look like yourself, that you weren't mobile, that he could have chased you down.
He's probably right. Yeah. I was hurting, but feel better today.
And then finally, Rob Gronkowski on Up and Adams. He knows the Yankee fan from last night that disrupted Mookie Betts.
That guy right there grabbing Mookie Betts' glove.
Don't tell me you know
was
him.
My friend in college.
Gronk, stop it right now.
He was on the ice hockey team, the club Arizona Wildcats team, ice hockey team. And let me tell you, the whole hockey team, they were absolute maniacs. They were indescribable just how wild
animals?
These guys. Animals, yes. How wild these guys were. Him doing that represents him. Very well. I mean, he is all in for his teams. He is all in for the Yankees. I remember him talking about the Yankees all the time, how he loves them so much. And that describes him perfectly, just doing whatever it takes to help his team out. But
he's a beauty. Okay,
he is a beauty.
Okay, hold
I just
on.
Want to say congratulations.
Congratulations!
For shining when your moment came.
By the way, I have to issue an apology. I apologize to Maggie Gray. For thinking maybe she dressed up for Halloween too quickly while there was like all this hair and glitter on the chair that she sits in. I just saw a video that Amy brought her adorable dog to work. And sitting in the chair to my right. You know. I'm just saying, if we didn't clean up after ourselves, that would be an issue. Would be an issue. Maybe we should clean up around here. A little respect around here at the 345 Hudson Street Studios. But adorable dog, so I'm not mad.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.